Welcome to the home of Blood, Sweat, and Words, a podcast that empowers writers. My name is Joanne Carson. I'm a fiction and nonfiction author, blogger, and podcaster, and I'm trying to make sense of the writing world today. My weekly show is current, relevant, and above all, honest. Join me, and we'll talk it to the bone. That's what Blood, Sweat, and Words is all about. Welcome to episode 8 on Blood, Sweat, and Words. Host Joanne Carson. Today's episode is William Nickel, homicide detective to author. Let me tell you a bit about him. William Nickel is the Amazon number one best-selling author of Cave Dweller and is a member of the International Thriller Association, the ITA. He's the author of the Jack Farrell Mystery Thriller Series and the Max Travers Steampunk Western Series. A former homicide detective and SWAT team member for the Kern County Sheriff's Department at Bakersfield, California, William is an amateur scuba enthusiast, gold prospector, and artist. He and his wife Karen divide their time between California and Maui, Hawaii. Aloha, William, in Maui.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited about talking to you because you have so much background. So let's get right into it. You're an artist, a writer, a scuba diver, a gold panner, and a former police officer. What do you think informs your writing the most?
Oh, golly. That's hard to say. And I think it varies from novel to novel. Law enforcement was a huge part of my life. I lived and worked police work on many occasions, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, especially when I worked homicide. So it's natural that that work in law enforcement figures greatly in my writing, but maybe in a different way. It keeps my stories from becoming a police procedural novel, which is what I strive to do. I use my experience more to keep police from becoming involved, or figuring out ways to keep police from becoming involved. Quite honestly, I've always been a daydreamer of sorts, especially as a child growing up in the 50s and 60s when we didn't have all the electronic apparatuses they have today. Back then, playing Army, Cowboys and Indians, Pirates, Knights of the Round Table, you name it.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was, and I think it's that creativity that I draw from most.
And that's how I'm reading one of your stories right now, Shipwrecked, and it doesn't read like a police procedural. It's very comfortable, and it's full of story, and the characters come to life very fully drawn. It's not just one thing happens after another like a police procedural.
Exactly, and that's the way I want my novels to stay, although they do get grittier as you go through the series.
Why do you think that?
Why they get grittier?
Yeah.
I want my character, Jack Farrell, to grow, and as you can probably see by reading the story, Jack doesn't exactly play by the rules. He walks a fine line many times, and when he does that, I think it's only natural that he's going to maybe stray a little too far one way or the other, and I just want him to be able to do that. I want him to grow.
Yeah, and I love that about him. Like, you can see the tension that he doesn't want to follow the rules, and he you end up really cheering for him.
Well, I hope that continues.
So I met you at Thriller Fest in 2013 in New York City. I absolutely loved that conference. The sessions with John Sanford, Michael Connelly, Steve Barry, they were amazing. I learned so much from that conference, and you go every year. I'm so jealous. Tell me what you like most about the Thriller Group.
You know, I can't believe it's been 5 years since you've been there. You know, you have to go back again.
Yeah, it's
But, you know, what I enjoy, hanging out with all the wonderful writers at the cocktail parties is certainly one of my favorite activities. You know,
yeah.
It's a rare opportunity to meet socially with so many great people. But International Thriller Writers Conference is much more than that. Thriller Fest is a great opportunity to network with fellow writers, those you know from past years and have become friends with, as well as all the new upcoming greats. And the learning never stops. At Craft Fest, there is at least one session for every facet of writing a thrilling novel. Even if a person is an accomplished writer, it never hurts to hone your skills. And the best part of attending a conference like Thriller Fest is you never know what doors might open for you. That's where I met my publisher, Suspense Publishing, in the bookstore.
Oh my goodness.
We were standing there looking at my books, and they started talking to me, and I now have 8 novels and a novella published through them.
And I love your covers. They do a really good job.
Yes, she does.
Yeah. And why do you think mysteries and thrillers are so popular?
You know, you hear this all the time. I believe my readers want to escape. Not just my readers, all readers want to escape into a life infinitely more exciting than the one they live day to day. Whether it be romance or, you know, a crime drama or an adventure like my stories are, people want to go through that door that says no admittance and see what's on the other side. To feel the adrenaline rush most people never get to experience.
Yeah, I totally agree. What about zombies? I noticed you have books with zombies in them. How did that happen? How did it feel to write about zombies?
You're referring, of course, to my steampunk western, Devil Wind.
Yeah.
I entered into that project with my son in mind. He's into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure what I was getting into when I began plotting the story.
Uh-huh.
You know, as it turned out, writing Devil Wind was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
And not only the zombie element, which I tried to give some believability to, and that wasn't easy. But the story is much more than a flesh-eating horror story. It's every bit a traditional Western with gunslingers, saloon girls, and rough and tough rock and sock'em action. Plus a bit of steampunk.
Yeah, people love zombies. I think that's great putting them in there.
Go ahead.
Did your son like it in the end?
Oh, of course.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
And then I wrote the sequel, Dance with the Devil, where my protagonist, Max Traver, doesn't face zombies. Instead, he encounters a half-man, half-beast chupacabra.
Oh, my goodness.
Mechanical creatures, bloodthirsty bandits, and gunslinging outlaws.
Oh.
So they're very much westerns.
You had great fun.
I did.
Yeah. So you write for a small publisher. What did you call it? What was the name of the publisher?
Suspense Publishing.
And you have a good relationship with them? Would you consider going with the Big Five or going indie, or you're happy with the small publisher?
I have a great relationship with them, you know, especially at the moment. And I think every author dreams of being published by one of the Big Five, myself included, and I've often considered creating a new series and shopping my work around.
Mm-hmm.
But through the Jack Farrell series, I've developed such a close working relationship with Suspense Publishing You know, they're just absolutely great people to work with, and I look forward to a long career with them.
Oh, that's fantastic. Not many times do you hear such a good relationship. That's great. And what do you think is the biggest hurdle for writers today?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. There are so many writers, and good writers, entering the market these days. The competition is fierce. So I have to say it's getting that first book published. I feel new authors have to, you know, who have been unsuccessful in landing a deal with one of the big five should not be afraid to submit to a small publisher such as Suspense Publishing. And there's a lot of good small publishers out there. I would encourage them to research the different publishers and not be afraid to submit their stories to them. It's often a great way to get your novels out there, especially that first novel, and gain, you know, some recognition for your work.
Yeah, well, I really appreciated the advice you gave me at Thriller Fest, too, is that, you know, don't sit on your manuscripts. Get it out there one way or another.
That's just it. You know, I meet them every year, and you probably have met some yourself. Authors who have been writing a book for, you know, 10 years, and they're just not going to be happy unless they land one of the big five, you know. I'm sure you write for yourself and for your readers, and it's important to, you know, when I'm writing, I want my story out there. That's why I wrote it. I don't want it sitting in a drawer, you know, with a stack of rejection letters on it. So,
and it's a good, and it's a waste of good stories, really. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
I hope listeners out there who haven't published find themselves a way to get out there. So what are you working on right now?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question. It seems like I'm always working on a new story, but which I'm sure you and every other writer can appreciate. But right now I'm plotting my ninth Jack Farrell adventure suspense novel. The working title I'm using at the moment is Cruise into Thin Air. But that will likely change by the time I'm finished with the story. As to how that's going, I'm afraid I won't know that until I complete the first draft, which right now seems ages away. As a rule, I'm not an outliner, though I usually begin with a sketchy, maybe 10 or 12 chapter or scene outline that I'll call a roadmap more than an outline. Of the story, which gets me started, gets me going in the right direction. Normally, I have a title, which I really like, and well, not this time.
Well, this one's eluding you, yeah.
But then, you know, I have a clear plot in mind and a good idea how I want the story to end. But all I can tell you at this point is Jack will find himself in hot water again, and he won't be alone.
And that's hard, I find, when I'm writing a series, to keep putting the hero or the heroine in trouble and not make it sound really kind of like, you know, they're constantly
contrived.
In trouble. Yeah, to make it seem realistic. That's an art. Do you write one book a year, or what is your goal?
Yes. I write one book a year. It takes me about 4 months to complete a draft that I feel I can submit to the publisher. Mm-hmm. And then, as you well know, you go through the editing process. And that depending on what Suspense's workload is like at the moment, can take, you know, 2-3 months. Before it's then released. And of course I always anxiously await the book cover that Shannon Rabb comes up with.
Oh,
As you mentioned, she does great covers.
They're just great selling. They're full of, anyone who hasn't seen them, they're full of color and the font. It's just, it's really, they grab you. They're really good covers.
So yeah, we do work together on them, and that's one thing I like about her. She does allow me to have input. In fact, every time I start a new story, as you've mentioned, I was an artist for a long time, so I tend to put together a mock book cover that I can stare at as I'm writing, and it kind of keeps me into the story. That book cover sometimes influences her, and thankfully, probably most times it doesn't. She comes up with her own idea.
Well, but that probably helps a lot, because there's nothing like having the author's idea on the front cover.
I think it does.
Yeah, it really links it. So, are you writing mostly in Maui?
What I do is, as you mentioned, I more or less divide my time between Maui, where I actually live, and California, where I stay with my brother and elderly mother. And I help take care of her. But while I'm there, my brother is a great person to bounce plots off of and ideas, and so he and I, you know, we do all of our guy things and talk story, and then I really get down to writing when I come back to Maui. I usually come back in September, October-ish, which I'm here now, and that's when I start banging out my first draft, and then I'll return. I go back to California for the holidays, and then I'll come back to Maui and write for solid for at least three to 4 months, and that's when I'll put it all together.
So writing in a beautiful setting doesn't take your mind away from the work. You can just
Well, the wonderful thing about Maui is if you're not here to vacation, which the vacation has been over for me for about 20 years. it's quiet. I want to call it quiet.
Good.
Though quiet, it may not be the right word to use. It's kind of a sedate kind of atmosphere. It's not like, you know, it's not a big city.
Right. Yeah.
There are cars and some sirens, but for the most part, I'm listening to birds and just enjoying the tropics.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. And what is your latest release?
My latest release is Sea of Heartbreak, which released July 24th.
Mm-hmm.
In that one, Jack Farrell and a new character I introduced, the beguiling Charisse Dineta, become embroiled in a plot to bring down a major drug trafficker. It's a deadly trail that enforces what Jack already knows. When he's on the edge, he's completely alive.
And where can we find that book and your other books?
Well, the best place is to go straight to Amazon and order them. Mm-hmm. All of my titles are available in trade paperback and ebook. They can, of course, find me on social media and my website, www.williamnickel.com. And they have to, of course, get the spelling correct on my last name. It's Nickkel.
And perfect. And all of this is also in the show notes if for those who are listening. And what are you reading right now?
Actually, because I'm working, I'm reading more fun stuff. I'm reading Stuart Woods at the moment.
Oh.
And he's just a fun, quick read. So
I'll have to check him out.
He's written about, I think, 100,000 novels.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not sure. No, he is a prolific writer, like I say, he's just a quick, easy read.
Well, we all need those. And do you have a favorite cock or mocktail?
Actually, I have become quite fond of a variation of James Bond's famous Vesper Martini.
Ooh.
It's featured in the movie Casino Royale, if you've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
It's my version is, because I don't have some of the fancy liquors that he had at his disposal.
Mm-hmm.
mine's two parts premium vodka, one part 90 proof London dry gin, and a couple of drops of dry vermouth, shaken and served with an olive.
That sounds very nice.
Yeah, well, seriously, this drink should only be consumed in the privacy of your own home.
Oh, okay.
Clothing optional. It's strong.
Ooh, okay. Do you have a final word for us?
I just want to encourage everyone, especially the young generation, to never stop reading or start reading if they never have. Just as seriously, I write all of my Jack Farrell adventures with the intention of entertaining my readers. The eighth novel in the series, Sea of Heartbreak, where I address the fentanyl epidemic, was no different. But I hope that in the process of providing them an escape from the routine of their day-to-day lives, readers take away a heightened awareness of the devastating effect drugs, opioids in particular, have on a person's life and the lives of the people who love them.
Yeah, it's so bad here in Canada. I'm sure it's bad all over North America.
It is.
Yeah.
Probably all over the world.
Oh, unbelievable. And it seemed to come so quickly. So I look forward to reading that novel and learning more. And that brings us to a close with my interview with William Nicol. Thank you, William. It's always fun to talk with you. I hope you'll return sometime and tell us more about your writing life and what's happening with your characters.
Oh, I'd love to. Anytime you want me, Joanne, I'd love to.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for listening. Now it's your turn. What do you think about today's topic? You can leave comments for me on my website or email me directly. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to know more about me, check out my podcast website, bloodsweatandwords.com. You can also sign up for my weekly newsletter there, which contains writing tips and information about upcoming episodes. You get a free book if you do. Now, if you really, really enjoyed the show, and I hope you did, consider becoming one of my patrons through Patreon and help me pay my podcasting bills. You can pledge as little as $1 a month and make a big difference to me and this podcast. And that's a wrap. I leave you with a quote from George Orwell. Good writing is like a window pane. See you between the lines.